Welcome to the Sisters in Service podcast. My name is Kat Cortado, also known as the voice connecting women veterans nationwide. This podcast is for anyone connected with the military, from veterans, male and female, military spouses, military brats, even parents who may have children who are in the military. As an Air Force veteran, I understand the trials and triumphs that women veterans go through in service and out of service. And so I wanted to find a way that I could put it out there into the airwaves and let everyone know what we're going through and find a way and a solution to what's happening to us in the service. I also like to highlight these women who are business owners, they're entrepreneurs, they're bosses in their business. And so I hope that you will follow me, you will share, and you will subscribe to this podcast, which comes out every week on Tuesdays. And as always, please stay safe, take care of each other until next time, and it's never too late to start your impossible. The Sisters in Service podcast is brought to you by Small Space Pilates. Are you ready to get fit and fabulous from the comfort of your own home? Look no further than Small Space Pilates. With live online Pilates and weight training classes, a video library, and a no perfection allowed policy, you can achieve your fitness goals without ever leaving your house. Visit smallspacepilates.com for your complimentary session and start your journey to feeling fabulous today. Welcome, Sisters in Service. This is the newest episode of our podcast. I said our. Okay, mine. Whatever. It's all of us. I'm Kat Cortado. You know me. And I have a special guest for you today. His name is Bob Taylor. He is a service-disabled Air Force veteran. He is an author of the book From Service to Success. He has a veteran-owned business. He works directly with the VA, and we're going to talk about some things that he encountered with the VA in his service that he felt like he had to talk about, and not only in his book, but also throughout his business. So I would like to welcome Bob Taylor. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kat. Thank you so much for having me. It's a great honor to be on your podcast.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. So I want to talk a little bit first about your service. So you're an Air Force veteran. And did you pick the Air Force or did the Air Force pick you?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. So I grew up in the Midwest in Michigan and went to Michigan State University. And in my senior year as a mechanical engineer, I was walking to school and I kind of heard a voice in the back of my head. It was my dad had passed away a couple years earlier, and I heard him say, "I always wish I would have learned how to fly." And that was something that I shared with my dad, and I'd always wanted to get flying lessons and things. It never worked out. And when I looked up, I was walking in front of the Air Force recruiting office. And so I took a right-hand turn. I went into the recruiting station. 9 months later, I was at officers training school.
It was kind of mutual. Right. You picked the Air Force and the Air Force picked you right at the same time.
Exactly.
What did you love about the Air Force? What was the thing that you just, now that you're out, you say, wow, I love that so much about being in the military?
I think it was the first time, I think I was 26 years old when I joined. And, you know, I'd never experienced great success in things that I, and it was because I really hadn't put all of my energy into anything. And the Air Force or military does a phenomenal job in their training at getting your attention, applying that focus and getting you to focus on the mission and your purpose at the time. And so I started to experience really great success in what I was doing. I graduated as distinguished graduate from navigator training. I went into B-52s as a navigator and was able to do some really neat things there. And I think I just, I loved that aspect and also the people that I was with and kind of sharing in those experiences and the trials and tribulations that went along with it.
I think it's interesting that you never experience that again. Like once you leave the military, that I don't know what you call it, not connection. It's more than connection. When you're working with a team and you guys can almost finish each other's sentences, that type of thing where you're just, you know, you don't have to say, hey, can you do this? They've already gotten it done. It's done and dusted, as my husband likes to say. And I think that when you get out of the military, you don't find that in a civilian organization anymore because everyone's out for themselves. Would you agree to that?
I absolutely agree that it's really hard to recreate that. When you say almost could finish sentences, when we were in a combat environment as a crew in a B-52, it was almost like an orchestra where every note played was exactly the right note at the right time. People saying exactly what needed to be said. We used hand signals when we had to, and it was just like a perfect orchestra that got us to the target on time and, dropped our bombs and then returned home. And you don't experience that same sense of purpose and mission as a team. It's something that I work at constantly in my business of trying to create that team environment. It's really hard to duplicate.
So you guys are like a well-oiled machine, but you have to be in those instances. If everyone's not on their job, people forget about this, but when you're in the military, there's the possibility that you can die. Okay. So if you're not doing your job, that means that maybe the mission won't get done and maybe somebody will get hurt in the process. So I know you served during Operation Desert Storm and you flew 11 combat missions. So after you left the military, when did you find out or when did you know that you suffered some injuries because of your military service?
So, you know, when you talk about injuries, if I walked or I showed up on your show with a broken leg and in a cast, we'd probably joke around about, you know, I fell down skiing down a hill or something like that. But it's the more emotional and mental injuries that happen that we're not as comfortable talking about. And that's the case for me is talking to someone like yourself on this podcast. It's not on my top five things in the morning to do is talk about some of the mental health challenges I face. I've decided that that's something that I really need to do. But it was about 6 months after I left active duty that I noticed, I started to experience nightmares. And when I was in flying my missions, I didn't experience hand-to-hand combat or, you know, I wasn't personally threatened by any one person. But who knows what happens to your subconscious? And so I started to experience these, you know, terribly violent nightmares. But then about 6 months later, they went away. And so I thought, well, that was kind of strange. And so I just went about my life, but I knew that there were other things wrong. I didn't know that I had depression, irritability, and anger issues. But I did. And I'm much more aware of that now. But I went through that for 16 years. And then all of a sudden, the nightmares, for whatever reason, came back with a vengeance. And I can't explain why after 16 years they came back. But I got to the point where I was actually afraid to go to sleep. I didn't want to go to bed at night. And so, you know, I'd have a drink to kind of help. Then maybe
which
a couple
doesn't
drinks.
Help.
It doesn't help. It might help. It would help me fall asleep, but then I would wake up from the nightmares anyway, and I wouldn't get restful sleep. But you know, one leads to another, and you add that on top of sleep deprivation and
that's
all the
a bad combination right there.
It's a very bad conversation or situation, and it happened really quickly.
Now, did you know, sometimes you know something's wrong, but did you know why this was happening?
No idea why. And I knew that I was not the person I wanted to be. It wasn't the husband, the father, the person that I wanted to be. So that's when I decided to go to the VA to get help. And I, the one regret I have in life is that I waited that 16 years to go get the help.
Now, did the VA help in those situations, or were there some lack of care, or how were you treated? That's what I'd like to ask.
I was very fortunate. I went to the VA in Battle Creek, which is their specialty is in treating PTSD and mental health. And I just by luck of the draw met a very outstanding psychologist that helped me, and also a psychiatrist, and they went at treating me very rapidly. They sent me to sleep studies, and I was in such bad shape that my legs were jerking 270 times an hour in my sleep. And so I just wasn't able to sleep, and my brain was just haywire. And so they started giving me coping skills. I started, you know, taking some sleeping medication, some antidepressants. And it, you know, at some point there are side effects to those medications, and you can't just rely on it. So it's a long road, and it took a lot of work, but it really helped, and they started helping me right away.
So I know that you were part of an experimental treatment for PTSD. Would you like to speak to our audience about that?
Sure. So I mentioned the side effects to their drug classes called SSRIs. And for me, you know, I was a 6:30 in the morning wake up person all my life until I started taking these medications. And then it became hard for me to get out of bed in the morning. And it also impacts intimacy with a lot of people that take these meds, and just some other things that you don't feel right when you're taking the medication. And so I learned about, my son actually found this program that uses, it's a synthetic drug called MDMA, and people might know about it as ecstasy. But this is kind of the pure form, and they're researching using MDMA and psilocybin to treat PTSD. And so I went into this program. There were three sessions prior to my treatment, and then I've had three sessions afterwards. But the treatment was one of the most amazing experiences, transformational experiences of my entire life. It has changed the type of person that I am in just astounding ways.
So what does the ecstasy and the psilocybin do to someone who has PTSD? What does it do in the brain? Or can you explain that to our audience?
So I think, you know, I personally don't know about psilocybins. But what the MDMA did for me, what I experienced was it kind of alters your state a little bit, makes you more open. And what I experienced was like being part of an ancient cleansing and healing ritual. And I was very aware of an energy that surrounded my body that I kind of perceived as my spirit. And I felt that there was a female spirit present, a kind of a nurturing kind of guide, I felt. And this energy came into me, and I was able to kind of expel this negative, bad energy. And it was almost like if you wash your hair, if you get grease and dirt in it, you wash it, you get some of it out. And so I went through this process of cleansing like 4 or 5 times during this experience. And all my depression, all my irritability, all the pain was gone, just gone.
That's amazing. So when you're in this session, I know it's a controlled environment. Did you have any trepidation about going in? Were you like, oh yeah, bring it. I've had everything else. Or were you just kind of like, I don't know what to expect here, because I'm sure they're monitoring everything, your heart rate, your brain waves, all of that. Is that what, did you look like you were hooked up to everything?
No, I wasn't hooked up to anything, but it's definitely a step of trust. And so, you know, those preliminary sessions were about establishing that trust. And, but it was like a coin with two sides. I had the bring it on, let's do this. I can't wait. I'm so open. But on the other side of the coin, it was some anxiousness and nervousness about what's really going to happen.
Of course.
All I was told is that I might meet up with a different version of myself.
Wow.
And I didn't really see anything like that. So it wasn't like a visual kind of experience, but it was just this, this good energy in, bad energy out.
Yeah.
And it was, just this spiritual cleansing that, it's hard for me to put into words, really.
So what have the studies shown, do you know about using these types of, I don't know what you call them. You said they're SS.
Well, the,
what are they called?
SSRIs.
SSRIs.
Those are the antidepressants.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's one of the things is that I had to stop taking my medication before this. And those pharmaceuticals are addictive.
Yes.
So you can't just stop.
You have to wean yourself off of them. Yeah.
I had to wean myself off for about 3 weeks. And then I had to go at least another 3 weeks before I could have the treatment. And all my depression and irritability, all those symptoms came back in full swing because I was on those, you know, medications for a reason. It was tough getting ready for this treatment, but I'm not sure what the study, I know that the studies show that this is helping veterans eliminate depression and the symptoms of PTSD. And those are different for veterans.
Right.
I'm experiencing a different relationship with my wife that I wish we could have had for the whole 35 years we were married. It's to experience, you know, just all that pain and anguish and everything that you carry around. All of us carry stuff around. We all have baggage.
We have baggage.
and it's gone.
So did your wife notice it immediately? Or was it something that was kind of gradual?
So when I went back to her, it was 2 days after. And I was really nervous about how we were going to come back together because I knew I was different. And you don't look different. but I wanted her to know that, you know, I'm a different person. And she accepted that and she embraced me as being different. And she has recognized it every day since my treatment.
So how long has it been since you've had the treatment?
So my treatment was February first. And I'll always consider that almost like a rebirth date.
A rebirth.
And, but it, we were just talking last night about how I'm still discovering things about this renewed Bob Taylor, and how it's helping me with my relationships and just the view of the world.
That's so interesting. Let's talk a little bit about your book, From Service to Success. Why did you feel it was necessary to write this book?
The thing I noticed in my treatment was that a lot of veterans feel some of the very same things. There's very many similarities, the depression, the isolation, feelings of I can fix this myself. No one understands me. I've heard all those things. And as I looked out, there's 48,000 veteran service organizations out there. But I really didn't see one that had a comprehensive approach to helping veterans shift their mindset towards a new purpose and a new mission in life. They were like a lot of programs help veterans find a job or a service animal, or they go into project or programs that kind of help them. But I didn't see anyone really trying to help the veterans. I always say that it takes a boot camp or officers training school to get us into the military. So if it takes a boot camp to get us in, there should be a boot camp
to get us out. Yeah, right? That too.
Because when we go into the military, we go from many to one, right? We're all individuals, all doing our own thing. And then in that boot camp or other training programs, they kind of are able to reprogram us into a very solid purpose and mission in life.
Absolutely. And I feel that when you get out of the service, we're still mission oriented. It's just that our mission is different.
Absolutely.
And I just feel that sometimes as veterans, we feel like we wore the uniform, we went through whatever experience you went through in the military, and yet we have a hard time asking for help because we think, I got this. I served our country. I got this. And sometimes you just don't got it.
Right.
Well, you know, you've got to know when to ask for help.
Right. We're expected to got it. You know, figure it out. You know, if you don't know how to do something, figure it out. And the other thing is we don't want to let our buddies down or the people that are counting us, never let them down.
Right.
And so we're always expected to be strong, to be resourceful, to figure it out. And those are some of the great traits that we have when we get out. But sometimes, like some of the coping skills I learned from my psychologist, I didn't know anything about those. I didn't know that you can basically reprogram your mind so that you don't have nightmares anymore.
Right.
How are you going to figure that out unless you go to get professional help?
So when you're talking about your book, is your book for anyone who's about to get out? Is it for veterans? Is it for people who've just gotten out of the military? Is it for someone who's been out for a long time? Who is this book for?
Yeah, it's all the above. So it's not just for veterans. It could be for a family member of a veteran. So part of what I've done is I've donated books to VAs. And we were dropping some books off at the VA in Battle Creek. And there was a woman there that has a son who served in the Air Force. And she was excited to read the book so that she could better understand what her son was going through, because he would say things like, you just don't understand, Mom. You don't understand. And so this book is aimed at helping people understand. So if a veteran is about to get out, it's a great book to read. If they're just getting out, or if they're, let's say they're my age and they're, you know, 50s, 60s or older, it's still a good time to read it, to understand what you've been experiencing, what you can do to improve things in your life. We're always in need to find our purpose. So I would say anyone that's trying to find their purpose in life or to find out how to make their family better or help their friend that's a veteran, my hope is that maybe a husband and wife can sit down and read the book together and create that dialogue.
What advice would you give to a family member, maybe a military spouse or a family, when they know something's wrong with their family member? Could be husband, wife, cousin. They know something's wrong. What advice would you give to that family on what they can do to help this person?
Well, they have to have the conversation with their loved one about the need to find help. And sometimes they can't do that on their own. So there's a lot of examples where the spouse has gone to a commanding officer or other friends. And you kind of put together a team that helps this veteran become convinced that they can get help by going to the VA. I was just reading a statistic the other day that this came from a report done in 2022 that veterans that make it to the VA mental health clinic reduce their chances, their risk of suicide by 30 to 36%.
That's huge.
So they reduce their risk of suicide by a third just by going to the mental health clinic. That's a huge advantage of finding that. The other thing is, yeah, you might be trying to solve your problems on your own, but how's that going for you? You know, maybe it's not going so well, and there's not anything wrong with going to find someone to talk to about mental health. It's just the same as going to a doctor when you've got the flu or when you've got a broken leg or whatever you go to get professional help for. It's the same thing.
Now, I know you did a lot of research on your book and you had firsthand experience with gaps in veteran care. So would you mind speaking about a couple of those gaps that you noticed?
You know, so not all caregivers are the same, whether it's doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, or whoever. And so the one gap is you might not be as lucky as I was to land with who I think is the best psychologist in the country. So in that situation is you do not have to stay with the one caregiver that you're given. If you're not comfortable with that one caregiver, you can go see someone else. Sometimes people see their loved ones, their veterans, on too many pharmaceuticals. And that happens sometimes in some locations. So we always need to be an advocate for our veterans and make sure that maybe they're not being overprescribed medications and that they're getting a well-balanced care. So I personally didn't experience as many of the gaps, but I do know that some veterans do. Sometimes it's hard to get started into the VA, but I think they're starting to work on programs to make that better and better.
So I know you talk a lot about overcoming adversity. Is that something that we can read about in your book? And what kind of adversity are you speaking about?
So I think that's one of the important things is when I talked about how resourceful we are when we're in the military and that sense of purpose that we have of overcoming that adversity and finishing the mission. There were times, you know, I'm a CEO of a family of companies. It wasn't always just a world of success and happiness. I was just talking about a story where my payroll at the time was like $16,000. It was due on Thursday. It was Monday and I didn't have it. And my credit cards were maxed. I had borrowed money from every friend and family. I had loans. I just didn't have any more. And I didn't want people panicked. So I really didn't go out and tell everyone how dire the situation was. And my receptionist came in. She came into my office and said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "Well, I was talking to my husband this weekend and we decided that we're going to invest $20,000 into the company."
Wow.
She had no idea that we had a $16,000 issue. And I mean, how does that happen? So, you know, a lot of this overcoming adversity is having the faith and belief that, you know, if we keep working hard and we take care of people, that we can get through just about anything.
I think sometimes it's a little scary, you know, as an entrepreneur or owning a company, that things aren't always peachy. And so on those times when it feels scary, it feels uncertain, what I try to do is just stand still and just breathe and just kind of really try to figure out what I'm doing. It's okay to stand still. Just don't quit. Stand still and just take baby steps if you have to. But don't quit, you know, because then you get nowhere. But if you talk to all types of entrepreneurs, you'll find that they all had to stand still and breathe. And so one of the things that I'm glad you brought that up, because I think in our previous conversation, I told you one of the things that I have a hard time with is when anybody, but specifically veterans, when they come out and they have their own business, a book, whatever, and they say something like, "Oh, I went from 0 to 6 figures in a year." And I'm like, "That's great for you. I want to know about that time that you had to choose between doing something to move the needle in your business and eating PB&J for a week. Now you can have steak, but you don't move the needle. But you chose to move the needle and eat PB&J. I want to know that story. I want to know that decision. What was going on in your mind? You know, I wish somebody would show up and say, "Hey, I got $20,000 for it." Be like, "Thank you very much."
Exactly what I said.
Right on time.
So I'll tell you another quick story. Is there was a time when it probably the scariest time that I've faced is there was a possibility that we could actually lose our home. And I came home and I shared that with my wife and I cried. I cried just like a little baby. And I just didn't know what to do. And she held me and she said, "Bob, we've gotten through this before. We will get through this. We can start over and do it again." And to have someone kind of to be with you that gives you that support is...
You can't buy that.
No,
you can't buy that. It's something that, you know, you have and you look back, you know, at the time you did it, you got over it. Then you look back and you think, "Oh man, my spouse is amazing. Like my husband's amazing. He's never told me you can't do this." If I come to with an idea and he might ask questions and I'll answer those questions. He's like, "Okay, let's see what happens. Let's go for it." Because if he had never said yes, I would probably still be at a desk job instead of, you know, what I'm doing now, it, being in fitness. So, Bob, where can we find your book? And let's chat about your business and what you do.
Okay. So first of all, I'd really like people to go to Patriot Promise on Facebook and follow. That will help, like, this podcast. We'll make sure that people are aware of it. But also on patriotpromise.org, they can go there and they'll see how to purchase the book. But for every book that's purchased, we automatically donate one. So I'm not making any money off the books that are sold on Patriot Promise. So they can either buy one and donate one, or buy one, donate five, buy one, donate 10. And we're taking those donated books and we're getting them into the hands of veterans. We've already donated like 1,800 books. And I hope to get that into the tens of thousands as we move forward. So that's kind of how to get the book. And then my business is, when I got out of the military, I went into a medical device company and I started in developing new products and went into manufacturing. Then I went into marketing, and then I was helping with mergers and acquisitions. And at that point, I was able, with two other partners, to start up a new business. That was all over the course of the first 7 years. And since then, I've started five companies and I've sold a couple.
And, a multipreneur, y'all.
Yes. Energizing.
That's a lot of responsibility. Bob, this has been fascinating conversation. Where can people find you if they need to reach out to you?
Well, they can get messages to me through the patriotpromise.org site. They can reach out to our website for Alliant healthcare products, and they can learn more about the company there. You know, I'll be reaching out as much as I can, trying to do speaking events and just any support that people can give, and conversations on Facebook and Instagram will go a long ways towards helping me to further what it is we're trying to do at helping veterans kind of find their new purpose in life.
Absolutely. The more help, the better, I think. If we have veterans helping veterans, then I'm hoping that eventually that there aren't any homeless veterans, that no one falls through the cracks, that suicides just disappear because we're doing what we can to help each other. So I think that's important. So Bob, thank you so much for being here today and speaking with my audience and with me. For everyone listening, I hope you learned a little bit about Bob and what he does and why he does it. And you know what I'm going to say. Please stay safe. Take care of each other. Until next time, and it's never too late to start your impossible.